Like to welcome you to Bethel Baptist Church sermon audio website. I want to bring a message on Christ our surety from the book of Hebrews chapter 7. And our text will be verse 22. You know, the whole of our acceptance with God is in Christ. It is the person and work of Christ alone which makes us acceptable and accepted with the thrice holy God. The whole of our assurance before God is in Christ. Be sure you understand this. I've said this before, that our relationship with God does in great measure determine what we do and how we feel toward Him. But what we do and how we feel does not in any way or any degree alter or affect our relationship with our God. Because the whole of our security is grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the grace of God. We are in Christ. We are accepted because Christ is accepted. And we are secure because Christ is secure. And we're holy because He is holy. And being holy, we have no sin. For He has no sin. He put away our sins. So God will not charge His elect with sin at any time or for any reason. You know, Christ is our good shepherd. And as such, He gave His life for His sheep. He seeks His sheep, and not a one of them will ever be lost. And He'll seek us all until we're found. And when He finds us, He lays us on His shoulder and carries us all the way home. He is the good shepherd, and He knows His sheep, and He calls them by name, leads them and feeds them and protects them and preserves His sheep. He gives them eternal life and declares they shall never perish. My heart rejoices in the leadership of Christ and the knowledge that He is my shepherd and I am His sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is our substitute. He lived in righteousness and died in shame as a representative of His people. Because substitution, it is the basis of hope for fallen man. It is the foundation and essence of the gospel. It is a message that God's servants are sent to declare. It's great news for guilty sinners because we're told in the Bible that in due time Christ died for the ungodly and that with His own self, in His own self, He bare our sins in His own body on the tree. And for my own heart then, there is nothing as deep and marvelous, as profound or awesome, nothing so wonderful or inspiring and full of joy and comfort and assurance of the glorious God-honoring gospel, that doctrine of substitution. So indeed, substitution is the very fabric from which all biblical truth is made. The gospel, in a nutshell, salvation of God, is stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. And also on top of this, Jesus Christ is our great High Priest. He has our names upon His heart. With His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, not made with hands, and obtained eternal redemption for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, listen, he deals with God on our behalf, and he makes intercession with the Father for us. So he who entered into heaven as our forerunner and has sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high is Christ, our great high priest. And this great high priest is God, but he is also a man that's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows our trials, our temptations, our troubles. He knows and our weaknesses and our woes, our sorrows. And he is a sympathetic Savior. And he sympathizes with us. And he intercedes for us. He pleads our cause with the Father. Christ is a priest we can safely trust. His sacrifice has been accepted in heaven. The Son of God is our advocate, that we could be, and what could be more blessed than that? What could be more consoling to sinful men and women? The Son of God is our advocate, and that with a gracious and loving advocate that he is. He's righteous. He's our full-time advocate. He is our effectual advocate. So do you see how anxious I believe the, and maybe that's a term I shouldn't use about the Holy Spirit, but it seems to me that He's anxious and ready for us to enjoy the comfort and assurance of our soul's salvation. He not only tells us what Christ has done, what he is doing, and what he shall do for us, he uses metaphor after metaphor and that to assure us of God's of the intercession that he has between him and God, that all is well with us and our God. Among the many descriptions used in the Holy Scripture to describe our Savior's glorious person and work, none can be more instructive or consoling and assuring than that which is spoken of in our text. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 22. He says in Hebrews 7, 22, we'll read it. He says, by so much more, or by so much, I should say, as the Bible reads it, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. So I want to talk to you now for a few minutes about Christ, our surety. I've named some of the work and the offices that he holds. But I want to show you what a surety is and how the Lord Jesus performs the work of a surety on our behalf. And you know, the old adage is a picture is worth a thousand words. So let me give you a picture of a surety and then try to explain that work. In Genesis 43, verse 8 and 9, we read where Judah became a surety for Benjamin. I said Genesis 43:8-9. He said, and Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, And we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. And he says, I will be a surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. So what is a surety? As Judah became a surety for Benjamin, before his father, a surety is one who approaches one person on the behalf of another. Excuse me. The dictionary tells us that a surety is a person who takes responsibility for another's performance or undertaking. For example, they're appearing in court or payment of a debt. A surety is a representative who lays himself under obligation to another person for the one whom he represents. So in this sense, Christ is our surety. He drew near to his Father on our behalf, and he laid himself under obligation to God his Father for us. Psalmist said in 40 verse 7 and 8, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written. Thy law is within my heart, I should say. So a surety is one who strikes hands with another in a solemn agreement. A suretyship is to a man of honor, a voluntary bondage, and it is one that is taken very seriously, as we read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Proverbs 6, 1 and 2. Let's turn there now. In Proverbs 6, verse 1 and 2, my son, if thou be a surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So we understand that it was a solemn pledge. So when Christ became our surety, he voluntarily placed himself in bondage to his Father until his service was performed. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ did as our surety in the covenant of grace before the world began. He drew near to God on behalf of his elect, and he promised to faithfully perform all that God required for the salvation of his people. Listen, he struck hands with the Father in solemn agreement. And God the Father entrusted his elect people into the hands of his Son as our surety. And the matter of our salvation was then and there settled forever. You know, how then did Christ become our surety? So when a man, with men, a surety is a mere guarantee, a guarantor. The modern term may be a cosigner, who's jointly responsible with the principal debtor for the payment of a debt. Not so with Christ. He went further than that. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not merely agree to meet our obligation to God's law if we, by some circumstance or condition, being incapable of meeting our own obligations. Because our blessed Savior, as our surety, took the whole of our obligation before the law of God upon himself. And with men, a surety may be legally bound into a suretyship. Just as a father is legally responsible for the debt of an illegal liabilities of his minor children. But Christ, listen, voluntarily, cheerfully placed himself in servitude to God's law and to the will, his will as a surety for his own elect. And from the very instant he became a surety for his people, he became servant to his Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ is an absolute surety. And that by voluntary consent. And when he became our surety, Christ took the whole of our debt upon himself. He became responsible at that moment for our obligations. And as soon as he was accepted as our surety, we were released. We were made free from all of our sin debts and all of our obligations to God's holy law. As soon as God accepted his Son as our surety, he set us free. And he ceased looking to us for satisfaction. He freed us from all the bondage, the curse, the penalty, the obligation, and he looked to his Son for satisfaction of our debt. The Job said, "Then he is gracious unto whom he saith, deliver him from going down to the pit." He said, "I found a ransom." So Jesus Christ was our ransom. Just as Paul became a surety for Onesimus. And when he said, "If he had wronged thee, Onesimus, if he had wronged thee, Philemon, or owed thee anything," he said, in my words, "put that on mine account," just as Paul. So Christ, when he became our surety, our sins were imputed to him. They were laid upon him. And that by divine imputation, our sins were placed to his account. He became responsible for them as if he had sinned, yet without sin. He was made to be sin for us when he hung upon that cursed tree, but he became responsible and accountable for sin when he became our surety back in eternity before the foundation of the world. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, "For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him." So this is what we refer to as a double imputation. Our sins were laid upon Christ, imputed to him, and his righteousness was imputed to us. Bible says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. So when Christ became our when Christ became our surety, we were then and there at that very moment redeemed and justified. We were pardoned and made righteous in the sight of God. God's forbearance and his patience, his long-suffering with this entire world is due to the suretyship and engagements of Christ. God's eye has always been on the blood. It is the blood of Christ, our surety, that held back the hand of God's judgment when Adam sinned. The Old Testament saints were pardoned, justified, and forgiven just as we are upon the basis of Christ's obedience as our surety, though he had not yet actually rendered that obedience. In Isaiah chapter 43, it says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. So you understand, those blessed saints of old had knowledge and faith in Christ as their surety. Remember what Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Let's turn there. I don't want to misquote this, but as he spoke of his living Redeemer, in the book of Job, let me find it here. I'm sorry. You know where it is? Job chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. This passage shows what the Old Testament saints knew. The Lord Jesus Christ became our surety by his own voluntary will. He was accepted as our surety in the covenant of grace before the world began. In the eyes of God, he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So God, as it were, trusted him to be the surety of his people, to bring about their salvation by taking upon himself our sins and paying them upon the cross of Calvary. He lived a righteous life and imputed that to us. He pleased his Father in all ways. So what did the Lord Jesus Christ agree to as our surety? You know, when Christ became our surety, he made certain promises in the name of the covenant people, which he is honor-bound to perform. These promises were voluntarily made without any coercion or constraint or force except the constraint of his love of his Father and for the force of his grace. But now, having made these promises, Jesus Christ is bound to perform them, bound by his own honor. You say, well, what are these promises? What did our great surety agree to do? And basically, our eternal surety agreed to do two things. First, he agreed to meet and perfectly fulfill all the responsibilities to God, standing in as our surety, as our substitute, in an absolute sense. Christ did not simply assume part of our responsibility in the given area, because he became absolutely responsible for his people in all things. He agreed to render the perfect obedience to the law established righteousness for us, which we were obligated to do. He worked out a legal righteousness for his people. He said, I have finished the work. He agreed to satisfy the penalty of the law as our substitute. He said, it is finished. So by his perfect obedience in the life and death, our great surety magnified the law and made it honorable. As we read in Hebrews chapter 10. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ became responsible to bring God's Benjamins safely home. It is because of his suretyship engagements for his elect that the Lord says, them also I must bring. So with our surety, what our surety has sworn to, he must do. He reconciled us to God in the sin, in his sin atoning death, as he shed his blood. And then he entered into the heaven as our covenant head and claimed our eternal inheritance in the name, in our name as our surety. And he will, in the last day, present all of his elect faith, faultless, sinless, before the Father, before his glory, with exceeding great joy. In that day, he will appear without sin. He will appear without sin, and his Father will say again, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So Christ alone is our surety. He alone must be praised, and alone he must be trusted. As our text said, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. This is my salvation. This is my comfort and my assurance. This is my motivation, and it is my hope. What of you? What about you? Do you know Jesus Christ? Are you trusting him as your Savior? What is your hope? You hope that your good works may someday outweigh your bad? Well, you don't have any good works to go on the scale. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. We're lost and condemned, completely depraved. So I beg you to trust Jesus Christ, to confess your sin, repent, and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not already done so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all your blessings upon us, for Jesus Christ, our surety, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.